Good morning, everybody. Very happy to be here. It's so nice to see you out. It's a hot day indeed, right? But we'll forget about the heat, try to, and look at the gospel together for a few moments. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 15. And if you want to read with me, Luke chapter 15. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I begin, I just want you to pray for a problem I have, okay? I share it with you. I should have mentioned it maybe this morning to Tom, but it's my iPhone. I've been putting on a 15-minute gospel message once a week. Every Saturday for almost a year and a half, I preach the gospel 15 minutes. And I have YouTube and two Facebook accounts. And it goes all over the world. And many, many are hearing the gospel. And God, as I know, He's blessing His word. And I was here yesterday, and I preached right where I am now with my camera right there and back of my iPhone. And it went well. I uploaded it to YouTube. And then there's a great problem with my phone. And dear Kevin worked, he labored trying to fix my phone, couldn't fix the phone. I can't upload it to Facebook, so I've got some problems. So on the way home, I'm going to stop at Westbrook's there overnight there in the chapel up there. I'm going to Apple. They have an Apple store there in the mall. So I'm going to go in the mall this afternoon, and I'm going to talk to somebody. So just remember that. If you think of me, I need my phone fixed so the gospel can go out, okay? So I trust God will bring somebody to me that knows what they're talking about. You know, sometimes you get people that don't know. I need somebody who knows. So I thought I'd mention that for prayer, and I would thank you. I appreciate your prayers for that. Here comes water. Hey, gents, thank you very much. Luke 15, and a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three parables in Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, lost and dead, the father said. So this is the coin, verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And the Lord Jesus said, Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, that changes their mind. Oh, God will bless the reading of His precious word. A coin that was lost. I read a little story about on the South Shore of Jersey. There was an arcade and lots of people there, maybe thousands. And the policemen there were there patrolling. You know, they were there for order and stuff like that. And one policeman came across another policeman, and there's a little boy standing there holding his hand. And he said, What's the story with the little boy? And he said, Well, he's lost. I'm trying to locate his parents so I can get him back with his parents. And the policeman said, Well, how come he looks so happy? He said, Because he doesn't know he's lost. That's why he's so happy. He doesn't even realize he's lost, right? So I say, Well, you know, that's like life itself. We don't know we're lost. I didn't know I was lost to God. I thought God was my father. I'd pray, our Father's heart in heaven. Sincerely, I had no idea that we're all born lost to God. All we like sheep, all, everybody, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, his son, the iniquity of us all. And that's a truth that I must get a hold of. Before I be found by Christ, I must realize that I'm lost to God. And that's why we have these parables here. Lost, a lost coin. And the woman seeking the lost coin. If she lose one piece, it's a picture of us, to teach us. This is the gospel. This is the theme of the Bible. This is the great secret of life. Do you understand that? This is a secret of life itself. to get connected with Christ. And now my eyes are opened and I know why I'm here now. We are here to get acquainted with Christ Jesus our Lord, and then you live. You begin to live. You don't begin to live until you know him. You think you're living. Think you're living, yes? I'm enjoying myself. No, you're not living at all. You don't know what it means to live. Christ is life. Life begins with Christ. I am come, he said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, supernatural life, the life of God in me. That's what's different about Christians. You notice how happy Christians are, yes? It's Christ in me. It's Christ. Today, he wants to dwell in you. He wants you to be able to say, Christ liveth in me now, and now I'm alive. Now I know why I'm here. The reason you're here is not to enjoy yourself and have a great time. That's not why God created mankind. No. We're only truly joyful and happy when I know him and live my life as Christ lived. And how did he live? He said, you follow me. Live as I live. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. That's how I live my life. I please God with my life. I glorify God. I don't live for me. May he bless you this morning with this wonderful truth. Now here we have her. She's seeking diligently until she findeth. It's a picture of God. All your life. All your life. He's been seeking you diligently. And don't think it's any mistake or accident that you're here this morning. I don't believe that for one minute. He brought you here this morning. God brought you here because he loves you. He's been seeking you all your life. Calling you. That's why things happen to you. You think of God. It's him. And he brought you here this morning. And you can be saved this morning. Born from above. Oh, by obeying the gospel. Seek diligently, it says carefully seek, perseveringly, painstaking, she's seeking, never slackening, this woman, she's seeking and seeking. She's going to find this piece, this lost piece of silver. He's been seeking you. You want to know why these things happen in your life? Why? God is dealing with you. He takes no pleasure in the death of anybody dying in their sins. He's calling you to himself for forgiveness and to enjoy your life down here. Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, all, and we've turned every one, God says, to his own way. And that's how I live my life for 30 years. My own way, pleasing Wade LeBlanc, doing what's right in my eyes. And I thought I was okay. And I'm so grateful God brought this message to me that you're hearing this morning. Very simple message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he wants to save you this morning. It's a reality. I'm saved. It's a reality. And it can happen this morning. A step of faith. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, but your iniquities, your sins, have separated you from your God. Our sins separate us from God. His face is hid from us. We have in Matthew 8 and 12, he seeketh that which is gone astray. That's the work of Christ in the world. He's seeking that which has gone astray. Luke 19, 10, he said plainly, the Son of Man, me, Christ Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the purpose of his coming to Calvary. High Pickering was a gospel preacher in England. He wrote books, and I love the man. He was a great gospeler. And he was asked to come see a lady who was dying. She only had not long to live at all, and she wasn't saved. And they asked High Pickering if he'd go see her and talk to her about her salvation. And so he said, yes, I will. So he went the next day and knocked on the door, and she said, come in. So he goes in the room, and she's sitting there with joy on her face. He's puzzled like this. He said, well, you looked very happy. Yes, she says, I am happy. I was saved yesterday. I was born again yesterday. I'm saved. He said, what happened? Day before yesterday, I get a phone call. You're telling me you're saved now. How'd that happen? Well, she said, reading this. And she gave him a piece of newspaper, torn piece of newspaper. And he looked at it. It was a sermon by Charles Spurgeon that he preached. And it was recorded, his words, this, what you're hearing right now. And the newspaper was from New York City. He preached in London, England, Church Spurgeon. It's printed the sermon in North American newspaper. And she got a parcel in the mail yesterday, she says, and the parcel was wrapped in that piece of newspaper. It's an amazing story, isn't it? He said, what? 26,000 miles. 26,000 miles this sermon goes around the world. All for her. For you. You see? You see how much God loves you? And she died a week later. How blessed was she? Oh, God is good. God is seeking sinners. He's seeking you. He loves you. Trust him. Trust him. Believe him. The seeking. Now we have, what does she do next? Well, she lights a candle. So now we have a shining. The light is shining in this dark room. That's the gospel. Peter said, a light that shineth in a dark place. It's this message right now that you're hearing me preach. This is the light shining in this room right here. May it shine unto you, and may you have an understanding given to you by God. Dr. Baedeker, in the 1800s, lived in England, and he was an evangelist, and he had somehow knew a princess in Moscow, and he had permission, freedom, to go into Russia with Bibles to the prisons, and that's what he did. He spent his life doing that, and one day he's in Siberia. He'd been there before to this prison, and the warden said, you know what, since you've been here last, we have a prisoner. Oh, and what an awful man he is. He's like a beast of a man. He's killed about 10 people in his life. We have him down there in the inner dungeon. He's chained. Dr. Baedeker said, well, let me go see him. So Dr. Baedeker goes down and he sees the man. And the man sees an angry man looking at Dr. Baedeker suspiciously. Dr. Baedeker told him who he was. I've come with Christ the Savior for you. And he's listening to him, and he offered him a New Testament. And he said, well, I can't read, so don't bother giving me that. So Dr. Baedeker takes out of his bag a book, a wordless book, a red page, a white page, and then gold and green page. He says, now let me explain this book to you. And the man's got it in his hands, his gnarled hands, you know, he's looking at it. Now he says, that red page, that's your sins. God says we're all sinners. I know you sinned, that's why you're here. But we've all sinned. And God says in Isaiah 1:18, come and let's reason together. Not your heart I'm seeking after today, it's your mind. Reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, white as wool, I'll cleanse you. That's our problem, the red sins. Now the other red is the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, shed on the cross at Calvary. He died for you, sir. He loves you. On the cross, all your sins were laid on him. He was punished by God the judge, and satisfied was the judge. And you, sir, can be go free today if you receive Christ as Lord of your life, Savior from sin. Now the white page, that's what you'll become. Whiter than snow you'll be. Clean and white in God's eyes, ready for heaven. And that's the last page. Green, everlasting life, gold, streets of gold. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sir, can you read that? He looked at him. And then he started his shoulders, he started crying. He said, yes, I do. I can read that. I understand what you're saying. And this man was saved. How is that? Murdered 10 people. And God sent Dr. Baedeker to see him in the prison. Does God love sinners? Does God love you? You see how he loves you. He only has your good in mind. The devil takes away things from people. God gives and he gives and he gives. He's a giving God, a forgiving God. The shining took place in that dark prison. So there's a shining going on here. Jesus Christ said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He is the gospel. The gospel's him, a message of Christ. dying at Calvary, lifted up, made sin, and punished for his Father as judge for my sins and your sins. He didn't belong on that cross. You know that he didn't belong there. And he willingly went there. The only young man led as a lamb to the slaughter for me and for you. This is a love story, friend. God is love. God is love. Ain't love in this world? What do you think? Well, your buddies, your friends, they love you? No, they don't. They don't love you. Hey, say, it's too bad. We heard he died in the weekend. That's too bad. Hey, let's drink to Charlie. Let's have a drink to Charlie. He's gone. There's no love. Oh, until death do we part, yes? And they're gone. Don't love you anymore. There's no love in this world. But God is love. And this is a love story. And love never fails. It never fails. 1 John 1:5, the light shineth in darkness. I read of a diver in New South Wales in Sydney, professional diver, brought up in the gospel. He heard this message often. His mother talked to him, his father. But he's running away from God. He's stubborn. My will be done. Now he's way down there in New South Wales. And one day he's diving, trying to forget God. And he sees something at the bottom of the ocean that's waving like. He said, what is that now? It's a true story. He swims over to it. It's an oyster. And you know what the oyster had holding in its little grip? It had a gospel tract. It had a gospel tract. This is an amazing story, yes? What's it doing down there? At the bottom of the ocean. An oyster has it. And the water's moving it like this. He couldn't believe it. He said, what? And he took it and with his goggles. He read it in the light. And it was telling him of God's love for him. He just broke down and cried like a baby. I could hardly see the goggles now. They're all steamed up. And he said, Lord Jesus Christ, you're still seeking me. You're still seeking me. You love me. Thank you for the shining taking place. Thank you for the gospel given to me today at the bottom of the ocean. And he was saved. Anybody goes into his house, he brings him right into that mantle. Says, have a look at this, the oyster in the tract. And he tells them the story. That's how much God loves sinners. That's how much he loves you. The shining, the gospel message. See, there's a problem in the world. You have an enemy in this world. Listen to what God says. But if our gospel, this message, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. The devil, he's your enemy. He's the evil one. Isn't it fun just to do what you want to do? Remember Mick Jagger's song? I'm free. I'm free to do what I want. Any old time, he sang. And the devil says, yes, you believe that lie. You're free to do what you want. Any old time, you're not free at all. You're not free at all. You got to keep going back, right? Oh, the great weekend. Got to do it all over again next weekend, right? The pleasures we have in this world, we go along. It is the devil blinding minds, lest this light should shine in onto you. May it shine in onto you this morning. Understand, you're not living, you're existing. It's all you're doing. Following your buddies all around, your girls around. You're not living yet. You don't begin to live, really live, until you know Christ. Christ liveth. He's alive. You hear a still small voice within. I understand the Bible now. I can pray to him now. What a wonderful life we have. And the promise of heaven when I die. The promise of heaven. I'm as sure of heaven as though I was already there. I love telling people that. They look at me and say, how can you know that? Because God said, I give you everlasting life now. And I asked the person, I said, how long does that last? Everlasting life. It's everlasting life. And God says, I have it now. Right now I have it. It's promised to me. I'm as sure of heaven. That's sure. And you can be too. Now I can relax and enjoy my life seeking to please God. Paul preached to the Gentiles that their eyes, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. Did you get that word? Sins. We're sinners. Our sins separate us from God. God's holy. He's a holy God. That's why He sent His Son to die. He's holy. He can't let one sin into heaven. To make it perfectly clear, He said this: if you die in your sins unforgiven, you cannot come to heaven. And I will say to you, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. My friend, you don't want to hear those words. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go there. You don't have to go there. You need forgiveness of sins. That's the great problem. And Jesus Christ dealt with that problem successfully at Calvary. He cried, "It is finished. It's finished now. No work to do. Just come to Christ. Humble yourself. Surrender your life to Christ. Surrender it. Give it up today. Give it up today. Just give it up. I'm all done living for me. I'm all done. I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus." What does He want from you? He wants you. He wants you. He loves you, and He wants you to come. You, wholeheartedly, say, "Lord, not my will. Not my will anymore. No, I want to know your will. I don't want my sin, Lord. I want to go my own way. I'm done, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to live for you in your honor and your glory, Lord. Lord, save me. Take me into your arms and into heaven itself now and forgive my sins, Lord, and He'll give you grace to live for Him." Very simple. No work to do. You see that? No work to do. "Who hath called us, who hath called you out of darkness," 1 Peter 2:9, "into His marvelous light," the shining of the gospel call going forth this morning here in Worcester in this room. And to emphasize how much He loves, I read of a U.S. Navy man. He's a young man. He had great problems in his life. He had habits he couldn't stop doing. He owed debts and so on. And he's so despaired, he's going to take his own life. And he's in his room on the ship. He has a revolver. And he's going to do it. End his life. Wrote a little note to somebody. And he said, "I don't want my mates to hear the sound of their gunshots. So I'm going to turn the radio up loud." So he turned the radio on, up loud. And the gospel preacher was just beginning to preach. You think this is an accident? Oh no, no accident. And the gospel preacher said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He never heard that in his life before. He put the revolver down. And he listened to that man preach. He said, "I'm preaching right now. No different. Same message, my friend." And he's crying now. He said, my God, the timing of that. That was God. He knew it was God. No gunshot heard. He trusted Christ as his Savior and Lord. Opened the door and told all his mates, "I'm a new man now. I'm in Christ now. I'm not sad anymore. I have joy in my heart." And that's the shining. That's the power of the gospel. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," because it's the power, the dynamite of God, is this message you're hearing this morning. Seeking the shining. And what should she do? She took a broom. And now she's stirring things up, isn't she? She's sweeping with a broom. And when you sweep with a broom, you stir things up, don't you? Stir it up. "And I must be stirred up in my heart about my sin in order to be saved." That's the truth. You have to understand, the Holy Spirit must stir you up inside. "I'm a sinner. I know what I am now. I've sinned against the holy God. And how patient He's been with me. How long-suffering. I'm still alive. I'm still alive." You thank God this morning you're still alive. You thank God you're sitting here this morning. Thank God for that. You're not dead. You're here. You can think clearly. Think about your sins. I remember when His hand was heavy upon me. I was 30. I couldn't stand the face in the mirror anymore. I couldn't stand looking at the man in the mirror. Because I knew what I was. A selfish man. Sinful man. And I was stirred up in my heart. And that's required. I see my need of forgiveness now. little girl innocently asked her father, she said, "Daddy, do you pray?" He said, who told you to ask me that question? Your mother?" She said, "No. I heard a preacher say that men of God, men who know God, pray. You pray, Daddy?" He said, "Listen to me. You go your way. Your mother goes her way. You go the same way. And your aunt, her sister, you go your way. And I'm going my way." Dismissing her. And she innocently asked him, "Daddy, which way are you going? Which way are you going, Daddy?" And she left the room. He breaks down and cries. He's crying now. He knew what way he was going. He's running away from God. He's ignoring God. And that was the day he was saved and born again. I had enough of this running away from God. I'll go his way, his way. Christ said, "I am the way of Christ." Will you make that choice today? You will not regret it, my friend. The devil's telling you right now, don't do it, don't do it. No, you'll regret it, you'll regret it. Do not listen to the devil. To your mind he'll speak, "Oh, don't do that. You'll regret doing that." I'll tell you what, no Christian has ever regretted the day they came to Christ. They're burned at the stake, singing, holding hands, singing hymns as the lions devoured them, and they're singing praises to God. No Christian has ever regretted coming to Christ. Would you believe me? You would not regret making that decision. She's sweeping. A sweeping broom stirs up things, and we must be stirred up in our conscience about my sins. Guilt is good. Guilt is good. Guilt. I feel guilty. That's good you feel guilty. We should feel guilty. You should feel guilty. You've sinned against God Almighty. You sinned against Him. In the coming day, you'll find out how serious that was. He sent His only begotten Son into the world, 3 hours of darkness, and He punished Him for your sins that you might be forgiven. And you can be forgiven this morning. The Holy Spirit's in the world. What's His work in the world? Jesus said in John 16:8, "And when He is come, He will reprove or convict the world, men and women, of their sin." I must be convicted of my sin before I see my need of Christ. Now I understand why He was there. Why Calvary? Why was He treated like that? Why the 3 hours of darkness at midday? It was necessary that I might be forgiven. You think God would send His Son to go through that for us if it wasn't necessary? It's necessary, the sacrifice of Christ. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the door to heaven." But above that door, my friend, it says sinners only. Sinners only. You must take the place humbly before God as a sinner. It's necessary. Repentance. Change my mind. I changed my mind. I don't want to sin anymore. Preacher was sitting in a gospel meeting. He wasn't preaching. He's sitting in the gospel meeting. Beside him is a young lady. And her voice is a beautiful voice. He marveled at it, you know. They're singing a couple of hymns before the preacher preaches. And he turned to her. He said, "My dear, you've got a beautiful voice. Do you know the Savior? Do you love the Savior?" And she carelessly said this, "No, I don't know the Savior, so I guess I don't love Him." Just matter-of-factly, he looked at her. He said, "My dear, that beautiful voice of yours, what will you be doing with that beautiful voice of yours in eternity? Shall it be spent in uttering the wailings of the lost, wailings of the lost in hell for all eternity? Is that what you're going to do with your beautiful voice?" And he left, walked away. Well, I tell you what, a stirring took place in her heart. A stirring took place in her heart, I'll tell you that. And that night she couldn't stand it. Got on her knees and said, "Father, forgive me. Thank you for sparing my life. Thank you, Lord. I'm still alive and I want your salvation now. I want your salvation. I want to use my voice singing in glory in heaven above for you, Lord." A stirring must take place. Seeking, the shining, the stirring, and then finally we have the securing. And when she hath found it, where is it in her hand now? I found it, she says. Calls her neighbors and friends. Let's rejoice together. I found it. And God says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Just one sinner. Can you imagine that? What makes heaven rejoice? A big conference, 5,000 Christians all gathered together and mighty teaching. Heaven's not rejoicing. I tell you what, heaven rejoices over you. One sinner repenting of their sin, name written in the last book of life, and all heaven rejoices at one sinner. That's what God's all about. That's what God's all about, friend. What's life all about? That's what life's all about, you see? He's seeking you today, calling you today. And if you'll surrender your life to Him, all heaven will rejoice, and your name. He knows your name. He knew your name before your mother gave it to the nurse. He knew what you'd be called. Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, you rejoice now. And there's rejoicing in heaven over you, one sinner. I'm trying to get through to you that God is real and He's a God of love. He loves you. What are you afraid of? There's nothing to fear. Come to Him. John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never, never, under any circumstances, will somebody come to me for salvation, and later on I'll cast you out. Doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on how I live my life. You could walk away and say, well, I don't believe in Him. But if I believed on Him, I'm in His family. He'll never cast you out. That's a promise, a double negative. Never, never perish. And then He says this, neither should any man pluck them out of my hand, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Secure in Christ, like the coin, secure in your hand. I've found it, and that's where you'll be. Secure in Christ, time and for eternity, I'm His. Job 11, 18, 19, and thou shalt be secure. Thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. You have no fear, no fear of anything, nothing. No fear, no man, nothing, no circumstances. You have no fear. You'll be a changed person. Say, what happened to you? Ah, I came to Christ. That's what happened to me. And you see Christ in me now. After a gospel meeting, this gospel preacher had 6 wee girls come to him. Want to talk to him. So he sat down with them. And he said, well, now tell me, girls, are any of you saved? Are you born from above? You know God? And their heads went down, and they're quiet. But one girl's head didn't go down. And she looked at the preacher, and she had a sparkle in her eyes, and she smiled. And she said, I know Jesus. He's mine. He's mine. The preacher starts to cry. He can't believe this. Out of the mouth of babes. She's 6 years old. I know Jesus. He's mine. Can you say that? Huh? Can you say that? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. That's Song of Solomon 6:3. Can you say that? Do you know Him? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They know me, I know them, and they follow me. That's what's different about a Christian. We follow Him. We stay close to Him in our life. It's an exciting life, the Christian life, you know. Exciting life. Walking with God every day. Can you understand that? I'm walking with God every day. He's inside of me. He speaks to me. And I live for Him, for His honor and glory. And not one thing I do for Him is forgotten of Him. President Abraham Lincoln, I think probably your greatest president ever down here, this man of God, he knew Christ, suffered much in his life. He became the president, and what a change he made in the USA, yes? He was a kind man, and every day he's sitting at his desk, and he'd get these requests for pardons from criminals in jail. And there were always letters of influential people attached to this request. And one letter was there, and no letters attached. So we looked at his age, and said, what, does this man have no friends? He said, no, sir. This man has no friends. He picked up his pen. Then I'll be his friend. I'll be his friend. And he signed the pardon. Do you understand this message? God wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. Your friend. I am my beloved's, my beloved is mine. And over in Paisley, England, there's a grave over there, and there's a gravestone, and there's a name written of a man, and the date of birth, date of death, and beautifully engraved is a hand with a finger pointing upward, and underneath is one word, and it says his. It tells the whole story, doesn't it? It tells the whole story. His. I belong to him. Jesus is mine. And that's where he is now, where the finger's pointing. And glory in heaven with him. Seeking. Seeking the shining. Stirring your sins. The securing. You can become secure today in Christ. And live your life. Really live your life. So I've given the message, and that's all that I can do. I'm a messenger. May God bless the message, the gospel, to your heart now. What you do now is up to you, you see? What will I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? If you've heard him in your heart of hearts today calling you, and you know it was God, you know in your heart God called you. You know. My friend, don't take it for granted. He'll never speak to you again. Don't think you'll feel like you feel right now. Don't. If he's speaking now, when does he want you to come to him? When? Right now. Right now. And you can. Right now you can come. Anybody here really seriously considering this? We would be loved to talk to you. Hey, point you to Christ. I've been seeking to do that. May God bless you. May God bless you richly. We'll pray now. Father, we thank you, Father. We're very grateful, O God, for such a wonderful message, Father. Us, the simplicity of this gospel, Father of thine. You don't have to be an educated man or a brilliant man or woman, Father. A child can understand this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's come to seek and to save. That's the work of God in this world. And Father, we who are saved and thine, we thank you, Father. We could have that hand engraved in our gravestones pointing upward. His. And collectively, Father, we lift up our hearts to thee now on behalf of any in this room, Father. And they don't know thee, Father. Impress upon their hearts the solemnity of this, Father God. May they not go on their way now and forget. Speak mightily, Father. Bring them into thy family, we pray. Salvation is of the Lord, Father. We understand Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And may that take place, Father, O God, in the heart of someone here even this morning. We ask your blessing now as we part, giving thanksgiving unto thee, Father, in that worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.